This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I just saw a headline and I was thinking, two very divergent ways you would take in this headline. Headline USA Today, top of the fold. Police put emphasis on diverse workforce. And you are either a person that sees that headline and thinks, awesome, that will make things better, or that's almost guaranteed to make things worse. I'm in the latter category. Now, that I don't know if it's fair or not, but that's what I think. That's what I've seen a lot. But isn't that right? It's you're pretty. That's starkly different, probably, when you take in that headline.
Yeah, if I were to quibble, and I will, because I'm a quibbler. You know, okay, they're putting an emphasis or the emphasis. Is that like the primary emphasis, the number one goal, or is that like number five after effectiveness, safety, and adhering to constitutional norms?
You are a quibbler, and the other headline, top of the fold, USA Today.
Oh, by the way, I suspect very strongly from the point of view of the USA Today, it's the former right. idea that that's their top priority. That is doomed to disaster.
I guess that's what I was assuming, and I'm probably right. The other top of the fold headline, though, pig kidney transplant succeeds in historic first. Did you see the doctor after this happened? He could hardly talk. He was so choked up that it worked.
Wow.
Thinking this is such a giant deal.
Wow, well, good for him, a compassionate man.
No more kidney. What about the pig? Nobody cares about the pig. Pig said, hey, I was using that.
Boy, do pigs, I assume, have two kidneys? Can they live with one? I assume this pig was a donor, a willing donor, signed up, had the sticker on his driver's license. No?
I don't know this. And then one other thing, laugh. A fashion note before we get to Clips of the Week. A fashion note, I had noticed this in my college town. We all know all fashion is cyclical. If it was ever hot, it will come back again. And then when it goes, it seems so ridiculous and laughable that it was ever popular. Then it will come back again in like 30 years or whatever. Right. But so the crop shirt or half shirt or whatever you call it for women, super hot now. If you're under 30, you're wearing the half shirt. I mean, I just see it every day, practically everybody wearing it. It looks very.
Show me your belly, baby.
Yeah, and if you got the belly for it, it looks fantastic. Yes, Katie?
Top. And it is the fact that they're the only shirt that we can find right now. It's highly irritating.
It's hard to find shirts that aren't crop tops?
Yes. Finding regular length shirts right now that are fashionable is a task.
That's interesting. Yeah, I see almost, like I said, practically every woman under 30 that I see is wearing that kind of shirt. So, yeah. But men are embracing this fashion. a trend worn by women for the last couple of years. How did it get to this point? Says the New York Post. I remember when half shirts were popular for guys in early 80s, late 70s. That was a thing. So, and if you got the, I never did and never will, have the right build for it. I don't want to see guys' abs at work, buddy, I guess.
No, no, no. I've got to admit to being amused by many of the same women who will browbeat you and literally beat you and get you fired if you look at them for as a sexual being, saying, therefore, I'm going to use my liberation to show you lots and lots of my body, as if showing of body parts isn't sexually provocative. But anyway.
Well, the short shirt has shown up with the high-waisted jeans. So the jeans come up to here, then the shirt comes down here, and then you just got that little gap in between.
That's stupid. Anyway.
Wow.
There are some fashions that are reasonable and some not. And I, Joe Getty, the Mr. Blackwell of the 21st century, will rule upon it. Hey, we really need to take a fond look back at the week that was. Come on now. It's Cow Clips of the Week.
I want to be crystal clear.
I want you to remember this moment.
What the hell is he talking about?
This is Cow Clips of the Week.
How many genders are there?
It's a spectrum, so like a lot.
What is a quality escape?
I think that's the description of what people are finding in their inspections.
Yeah, everybody knows that. There's a f***ing hole in the side of it.
Doctors hope it could pave the way for an endless supply of pig kidneys.
It was like using the force on a cursor, and I could get it to move wherever I wanted.
Ohtani's longtime friend and interpreter fired by the Los Angeles Dodgers after allegedly stealing $4.5 million from the baseball phenom.
Police say the burglary tourists are part of international crime rings traveling from countries in South America.
There are 100 miles of border wall that have been put up in the Dominican Republic. They say it has been extremely effective.
That there were a number, several hundred migrants that essentially overwhelmed a number of Texas National Guard soldiers.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it.
Bloodbath. Bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, it's a bloodbath, an impending bloodbath.
This I have a wonderful voice, and it won't world. Be talked
this
over.
Is how we
Kevin
treat
O'Leary,
money in America.
I would like to
this
hear
is
what you have
not
to say, but
America.
What are you doing?
New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump.
Look at Illinois. I don't know how it continues. You have this guy Pritzker. I don't know. He's too busy eating. He wants to eat all the time. Who the hell orders five burgers?
Now Northern Ireland is a fully functioning government again.
Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an active, aware enabler.
That's life, Putin said.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
So, like, a lot?
I'm mostly offended by that announcer, just the way he talks. That's what bothers me.
The way he's trying to force his voice lower.
Did Trump say who the hell eats two hamburgers?
Five.
Five hamburgers. What a funny thing
to
say.
Who the hell wants five hamburgers?
Are you following?
The problem with J.B. Pritzker is not that he's fat. It's that he's evil. Anyway, back to you.
Are you following the Shohei Ohtani story? Biggest sports star in America, $700 million contract, and now some weird gambling thing that has erupted has gone pretty quiet in the last 24 hours. The Dodgers acquired him over the summer, $700 million contract, like I said. And here are the unanswered questions, according to The Athletic and The New York Times. Still unanswered, and some of them are pretty basic questions. Why did the interpreter change his story? The original story on ESPN was the interpreter said Ohtani, who he interprets for, because Ohtani's a Japanese player, doesn't speak English. The interpreter said Ohtani wired him the money to cover his gambling debts. Then the story became the interpreter stole money from Ohtani. Nobody has said why two different stories. Who, what? Why did he say, what? Do you know anything about this? But there's no answer from that.
So the interpreter said, yeah, I ran up some gambling debts. It was 100% me. Otani is not involved in any way, but he covered them for me because we're such close friends. Okay?
And he wired then me the money.
Right, exactly. Then Otani's legal team came out the next day, I believe, to say, yeah, Otani's been stolen from is the story.
Possibly because he was stolen from, but also possibly because the difference between you gambling on sports and someone else placing the bets, but when they lose, you cover it, is pretty thin, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please. You've employed a bagman, a courier.
I mean, because am I supposed to think that if the guy wins, the money doesn't go back the other direction ever? Yeah, right. So, the other question from the New York Times, their athletics section, why isn't Major League Baseball investigating? I'll tell you why they're not investigating. Because the last thing they want is the biggest star they've got in their entire sport that they're counting on for the next 15 years to drive ratings in the number one media market in the country. They don't want this story. They want it to go away. They're not going to investigate unless they're forced to.
I think they're probably quote unquote investigating furiously, but extremely quietly.
Another question not answered, and it should be answered pretty quickly, pretty easily. What sports was this guy betting on? Was he betting on baseball? Because if he was betting on baseball, even if it was the interpreter sitting in the dugout, knowing who's hurt, who's got a cold, who's got a whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Mizuhara, the guy's name, the interpreter, swears he's never bet on baseball. He said he knew that rule. He didn't realize he wasn't allowed to gamble on sports at all. But I like to question one of the, Jason Riley asked in the Wall Street Journal, I want to know why a bookmaker allegedly let a client like Mizuhara fall into a multi-million-dollar hole.
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, because I'm sure it pays pretty good to be Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, but it doesn't pay I lose $4.5 million at a time, you know, over a stretch of gambling. No way. I mean, that's right. You're a high-rolling gambler. To lose $4.5 million, and I guess the point of Jason Riley and you is, well, bookies don't just let anybody bet that kind of money. So what? I win, I get my $10 million. I lose, I just say sorry, I don't have it. That isn't the way it works.
Well, right. Unless this guy, and these are all questions with no answers yet, but unless this interpreter guy, Mizuhara, told the bookie, all right, I owe you $3.5 mil. I'll steal it from Ohtani.
Now, it is, to be fair to Ohtani, who I don't know anything about. I mean, he might be the greatest guy in the world and didn't do anything wrong, got stolen from. But it's not crazy at all to think drug addicts and gambling addicts do all kinds of awful things. They steal from family and friends all the time. It's like the most common thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They spend their family, see Hunter Biden, they spend their family's money, all of it, lie to them like Hunter did to his brother's wife, who became his wife.
Right. I could see virtually any of the scenarios becoming clear that was the true one. I mean, like this guy who, because he and Ohtani are close, really close, like family close. I could see this guy coming to Ohtani and saying, I've done a terrible thing. I've ruined my life, blah, blah, blah. Here's what's up. And Ohtani, who has more money than God, saying, I'm going to cover you once, old friend, once. And then Ohtani's people saying, hey, why'd you transfer $3.4 million out of your account? And Ohtani said, well, to cover up old Mizuhara's gambling debts. And they said, what? What? I could easily see that having happened.
Right. I don't think that this is part of what happened, but how crazy would it be if the biggest star in all of American sports at age 29 at the peak of his career is doing something as stupid as gambling on sports?
Yeah, I know. Well, one thing that hasn't been said yet that should be said is that Shohei Ohtani is dreamy. Back to you. Yes, I'm straight.
And honestly, how about the interpreter?
He's dreamy.
The interpreter had the greatest interpreter job on planet Earth, and he screwed it all up. You get to sit in a major league dugout and then the post game and travel around, I'm sure, only in limos and private planes with Shohei Ohtani, and you get paid for it. That's a pretty cool job.
And then the minute you leave that gig, you have entrees into the highest reaches of society, including business and politics, both in the United States and in Japan, which, by the way, are a couple of the great economic superpowers on Earth. And so he could have become a diplomat, a businessman, a spokesperson, a beloved commercial pitch man, virtually anything. But perhaps he had the gambling Jones.
But you had to bet on the Mud Hens to win by two in a double A baseball game. Or something. More on the way, stay there.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Law enforcement sources in Texas tell Fox that at least one migrant is charged with assaulting a Texas National Guard soldier after more than 300 migrants rushed the border wall in El Paso. The majority here are single adult men. You see them push past the razor wire, shove National Guard soldiers, and rush the border wall. More arrests may be coming for assault or destruction of property. Congressman Tony Gonzalez posted on X, quote, "There is nothing safe and orderly about this. It's a break-in. It's illegal."
If you haven't seen the video, it's quite extraordinary. It is journalistic malpractice that it wasn't toward the beginning of every newscast last night. And it wasn't. CBS did a brief thing on it. Nothing on NBC or ABC. CNN covered it briefly yesterday. Nothing on MSNBC. So today it got a little more coverage on a couple of the big networks because the video is amazing. It looks like a medieval battle there for a while at the border as 300 of these young, strong dudes overpowered the Texas Guard, get past them, then are stopped by a wall, which...
Walls don't work. Build bridges, not walls.
So we got this text. As a former Marine, always a Marine, what I see in that video is 200-plus fighting-age males overrunning a woefully undermanned position with a defensive force that has extremely limited resources. Also, 30 to 40 yards of defensible space, then a hardened wall in which more troops are behind. I'm assuming they're feds. Yeah, because there were some sort of border guards on the American side of the fence there. That is a tactical nightmare and a disaster leading to U.S. troop bloodshed waiting to happen. By the way, anyone offended by my use of the manned position can kiss my Marine ass.
But, first of all, amen to that, brother. Secondly, I'll bet you could discern a hell of a lot about their rules of engagement, too, from the way they behaved, how limited they were in what they were comfortable doing to defend themselves and the country.
Yeah, well, the Texas Guard, I mean, they were pushing back, like physically fighting with these guys, but then they just let them go. I mean, they didn't fire any weapons or bring out any batons or anything like that. And obviously, if anybody fires a shot on either side or pulls out a knife or something like that, this could turn crazy, ugly, crazy fast.
I'm going to see how annoying I can be in a single sentence. Thank God they didn't whip the migrants with their reins like those other brutal border guards
did. Them. Strap them! A made-up term Biden came up with. I saw those border agents strapping those migrants. You did?
One thing for sure, this will not stand. We're going to look into this and ruin their lives, even though they did nothing wrong.
But this sort of confrontation will turn crazy ugly and violent at some point if we allow it to happen.
Yes.
Oh, keep allowing it to happen.
Those folks have the expectation they will be let into the country. They've seen it happen millions of times in the last couple of years since Biden took office. So when they are stopped at the border, you're a young, strong man. You think there's 200 of us. There's like four border guards here. We're going in. And they did, or they tried.
Are we going to have another Speaker of the House vote? We ought to look at that quickly because that's a big news story.
No.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to put any of our members in a difficult place like we were for 3.5 weeks. We're going to continue our committee work. We're going to continue our investigations. There's a lot of good investigations going that have to be able to proceed. The American people deserve that. But I'm not saying that it won't happen in 2 weeks or it won't happen in a month or who knows when. But I am saying the clock has started. It's time for our conference to choose a new speaker. And everyone knows it.
So that's Marjorie Taylor Greene today called for another vote on the Speaker of the House. Now, my very cursory knowledge of this, drive-by knowledge, was I thought the new rule was anybody can call at any time to oust the Speaker and then you have a vote. And she just called for ousting the Speaker. So what happens now?
Johnson, the Speaker, may or may not have to take it up, since it's not yet clear whether Green filed it as a privileged resolution that requires House floor time. Green's measure wasn't initially recognized as privileged, which means Johnson would be able to postpone any vote on it until after the House takes a 2-week recess.
Quick,
if she ultimately opts against any protections of privilege, Johnson could let it sit, yes?
How many of the media personnel asking her questions have any idea of this? None.
None-ish.
So none of them would ask that question.
Right. And then several of the folks who were with the Toss Kevin McCarthy team said, I have no idea what she's doing. And no, I don't support it, please. A couple said, yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
But do I remember correctly? All you need is a majority vote to boot the person, don't you? Or you have another vote, so They'd have to get the majority to stay. And all the Democrats would vote against. So you only need like a handful of more Republicans and they're gone, right?
Well, and it's fewer than it was last time after a couple of resignations and I guess just resignations.
But wouldn't you only need like...
Yeah, their majority is even smaller than it was back when Kevin McCarthy put the nation through hell.
So you'd need like 6 Republicans who want to get rid of Mike Johnson? I'm sure there are 6. There's probably 40.
Yeah, it might even be less than that, but I don't know. I find this whole thing tiresome.
I don't know. I kind of want it to happen just for the chaos of it.
Wow, you're a tear-it-all-down guy. An anarchist, a nihilist.
I'm not anymore. I was, but I don't think it would do any harm, so I think it'd be kind of fun.
Well, and somebody asked Mike Johnson, the current speaker, if that is his real name, what did they ask him? It was one of your predictable, what do you think of this? He just shook his head. Didn't even utter a syllable. Which is, he's probably like, go ahead and get rid of me. This job is stupid. It's thankless.
and everyone knows it.
We got like a two-vote majority. Nobody agrees on anything. The Democrats are mostly unified. They're evil, but unified. This job sucks.
My most famous members have more interest in being hot on Twitter or Instagram than they do on anything I care about.
I get to say I was Speaker of the House. That's fine. You don't want me to do it anymore? Fine. Say the word.
No,
I was happy.
This summer, Mike Johnson could be anywhere in America at a bar and say, I was Speaker of the House. No, you weren't. I was. Seriously. Yeah, right. Whatever.
I'll bet you the next round I was.
No, you weren't. I would know if you were Speaker of the House.
Right. Right.
Whatever.
Well, and Johnson would probably go on to say, you folks, you drafted me. Remember?
Right.
You rejected like five people, then you said, hey, Johnson, everybody likes you. You want the job? And now you want to get rid of me? Well, go ahead.
Which is kind of where Kevin McCarthy, I think, ended up on it. Fine. Fire me. I'll go work for some private company and make money. Whatever.
See y'all. Bye. Right.
This story probably matters more. DoorDash claims drones are going to start delivering Wendy's burgers. DoorDash is reportedly partnered with some alphabet wing drone delivery company to introduce a fast food delivery, at least in one town in America. And they're going to start delivering burgers, which is, this is a sort of thing that's been promised or threatened now for quite some time. And it looks like they're going to try it in one place in America, and we'll see if it works. I've always been incredibly skeptical. I just don't see how, even if the first place could do it, it can't become a regular thing. There'd be too many drones in the sky, wouldn't there?
Yeah, and I just question how efficient that would be. I don't think it would work.
Don't you crash into somebody's house and they make you pay for the fixing the trim, or into somebody's head and they make you pay for killing them?
Right, right. Well, and look, I'm an outlier on this. I don't really do much of that stuff, any DoorDash or food delivery, because, you know, it's easy for me to go. But you got a burger place, like, on every damn corner. There's probably more demand than I realize. I fully admit that.
People be shooting down drones to get free food.
You think somebody's going to shoot down a drone to get a...
Absolutely. I'd throw a net up there.
To get a Baconator?
Yeah. Or I'd see, like, my favorite brand, a taco or chicken, pizza or something,
so you're
flying through the sky.
So
I'd shoot a net up. Yeah.
So you're going to sit in your backyard on a lawn chair with binoculars. Mm-hmm. No. Yes. That looks like Burger King. I don't like Burger King. That's Chipotle. Where's my gun?
Exactly, yeah. Sitting there with a stack of napkins next to me on my chaise lounge, just waiting for the right drone to fly over.
Well,
there.
Amazon has been talking about this for a long time. So I still just don't understand how it could practically ever like become a regular thing. You can't have Amazon and DoorDash and all these different companies, UPS, competing with each other with all these drones in the sky. Just unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical about that whole thing. I think it's more exciting sounding than it is practical. Oh, but that reminds me, there's a story in the National Review that Minneapolis, which is Minneapolis-St. Paul, just utterly blue, woke, lefty metro area, which seems so strange if you grew up around Minnesotans, but you have to realize that the people in the city are not, well, they're people in the city. Anyway. We'll leave it there. But they have passed one of these utopian sets of regulations that everybody's got to be a full-time employee and get full benefits and all that, one of the anti-gig worker laws. And both Uber and Lyft has said, see ya, we're out. Leaving the Twin Cities without their services, or they're about to be. And the National Review points out that that's going to be disastrous for a lot of people who depend on it.
We got this text I wanted to mention. So I've been ranting and raving for the last 48 hours about the new Biden administration college loan bailout dealio. That's another $6 billion, bringing the total to $140 or $14 billion of bailing out student loan debt, making the rest of taxpayers pay for college kids' loans. Heard you talking about the student loan forgiveness plans. With all due respect, I don't think you understand how screwed up the system is. Please watch this week's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. His whole show is on student loans. Yeah, it is. It's ridiculously expensive. It's all kinds of screwed up in all kinds of ways. But that doesn't mean I have to pay for that person's choice to engage in it. It doesn't make any sense.
I think I know what that person's driving at, because that whole you work in public service for a certain number of years and we'll forgive your loan thing, that very program, no matter what you think of it, what happened was the Biden administration tweaked some of the formulas involved that in effect let a bunch of people off the hook. They're actually claiming it's more significant than it is. But anyway, having said that, that system is completely gummed up with government red tape and out-of-date computers and you getting the same letter three times, responding to it three times. It's just utterly effed up in a lot of different ways. I think that's what they're referring to.
It probably is. I still don't understand how it ever gets to how I, as a taxpayer, need to pay somebody's student loan for it.
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, the original plan was passed under George W. Bush. The whole do a certain amount of public service and you get your loans forgiven thing, which is...
And it includes firefighters, cops, teachers, and social workers.
Yeah, and people who work in like criminal justice as well, I think.
Pretty broad category of... And a lot of those jobs pay really well and have great benefits. And that's
some of
the
them
crowd?
Don't, clearly, but...
Well, okay. But how about those that do? Why am I paying for your kids' college?
Well, that was actually my point. Some of them, like social worker, you're not going to make any money.
Nope.
Being a cop or a firefighter, decent money, good benefits, early retirement, certainly some danger, et cetera. We're acquainted with that. So anybody who does anybody any good, by whose standards?
Right.
I don't know. It's just, well, it's all, you know, you can argue against in principle, but just realize it is distributing money from the Treasury to shore up your power. That's the way it is in every political system. It just takes different forms. But yeah, I don't know. I just, I don't mean to be discouraging. Maybe it's just that it's the end of the week. It's been a bit of a challenging week. I don't think the forces aligned against those who would game the system are good enough to stop the gaming of the system. I think we now are the United States of gaming the system. We've junked the principle in favor of just taking as much money as they can without causing open warfare in the streets, then handing it out to those who please them and who promise to vote for them in a very naked way. It's no longer disguised, and it's no longer restrained by any sense of principle. It's just, it's a banana republic.
And one more thing, I'm just trying to clear off my deck of notes and stuff like that before we get out of here today. Some polling out of Michigan, voters of color versus white voters. In 2020, Joe Biden won voters of color by 62 points. He's currently polling with a 21-point lead among voters of color, a 40-point drop from 20 to 24, and Trump's gone up 5 points. So Trump got beat by 51 points last election, and he now trails by 5 for voters of color. That's really pretty amazing.
I would love to dig into exactly why that is. Part of it's the woke garbage. The trying to convince daughters that they're sons and the gender bending madness. Part of it is got to be, this is probably wishful thinking. I hope part of it is just more and more black Americans saying, you know, they've been making us promises now for many decades and they don't come true. Maybe we'll go for more opportunity and better jobs instead. But I would love to know more about that.
Yeah.
Because that is a striking result.
That might be the story, the realignment is why is that happening? I mean, when do you ever see 40, 50-point moves in any demographic?
Whoops, I missed one obvious one. And that's, you know, assuming, which is correct, that black folks are disproportionately not wealthy. Inflation has hit the less wealthy part of America much harder than the wealthier part for the obvious reasons.
Sure. Yeah. Because it bothers me, and I'm been fairly fortunate. Yeah. Okay, we will finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to share more positive interactions with the preschool age kids I work with. For context, I'm a trans person who does not pass as the gender they identify with. Yesterday, one of the other staff came up to me and she was talking to me and then started talking to the kids about me. And she used she, her pronouns for me. And one of the kids interrupted her and went, he's a boy. So, you know what? Pop off. My biggest allies are 3 years old.
Yeah, well, that's appropriate because only a three-year-old would fall for your strange mental illness claptrap.
Why are there three-year-olds in this kindergarten class? Anyway.
Precocious.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, wow. All right, don't get me started. Let me clear up something that we were discussing yesterday, and that is the widespread belief that the president and the vice president cannot be from the same state.
Based on the story NBC had earlier in the week, they had six sources saying Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, is on Donald Trump's shortlist for vice president, which would be quite the political move. Wow.
Intriguing. Very intriguing.
But they're both Floridians, so it can happen according to our Constitution.
Not true. So here's the deal.
Crap.
Originally, we elected president by the top two vote getters would be all president right. and vice president. That's right. How he ended up with John Adams as president, with his bitter rival at the time, Thomas Jefferson, as his vice president, which did not go well.
I think we should do that more often. So it would have been Joe Biden president, Donald Trump vice president.
Oh, boy.
And then this time we could have Donald Trump president, Joe Biden vice president. I love it.
So anyway, after Adams and Jefferson spent 4 years trying not to kill each other, the country said, you know, why don't we adapt this process? Let's have a 12th Amendment, which addresses some of the confusion around the Electoral College and alters the process, which put the vice president on a separate ballot, allowing electors to vote for one person for president and another person for vice president. Now candidates can run on a unified ticket, which is fine. It's not enshrined in the Constitution, but they do. But the requirement that the electors can't cast a ballot for both people from their home state, from their home state, stood. They failed to clean that up. Now, it doesn't matter. It's almost never come close to mattering. One exception would be in 2000 when George Bush and Dick Cheney were both actually from Texas. Days before the election, days before Cheney was chosen by Bush, he sold his house in Texas and said, yeah, my vacation home in Wyoming, where I've been congressman. Yeah, that's my home. I'm a Wyoming guy. Wyoming all the way. And it could have mattered.
And that's where I'm going to go shoot Harry in the face.
Exactly. But the one thing that this noted constitutional scholar doesn't clean up for me is the electors of Texas still could have voted for Bush for president. They just wouldn't have been able to vote for Cheney for vice president.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure how that would have come out.
But so the long and short is he could choose Rubio and it'd be fine?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Jack and Joe just had a very robust and productive conversation this morning. working together to discuss very important issues together in this moment in time. And now together in this moment, they will have final thoughts with Armstrong and Getty. This is the most final thoughts of our lifetime. And it is time to share the final thoughts they have been thinking, and that time is every day.
That's pretty good.
Wow. I am amused.
And that's amateur AI. Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
Yeah, that's like amateur freebie open online AI. Hey, let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew. Michelangelo, lead us off.
I guess I am a dinosaur. When I order a pizza, I pick up the phone and talk to somebody. I go to the restaurant and pick it up. No drones for me.
No, you got to order it online and have a drone deliver it.
Nah. Katie Green, our esteemed news
woman. Pay for it with Bitcoin.
Katie, do you have a final thought?
Yeah, my parents were out of town for St. Patrick's Day, and they're back, and we are having a second St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
The big hooli, as my mother calls it.
Wow. Can you say that on the air? Jack, a final thought?
So both of my kids are so excited for spring break and like party time and various activities we're going to do, and I am a grown up with a job at the end of the week. I'm exhausted. They're ready for me to bring the fun. I'm going to have to drink a lot of coffee.
Bring the fun. Mm. My final thought's a little bit serious, but I was just scanning a couple of news stories where people are committing horrifying, unspeakable acts against each other and even children in the name of their tribe or their race. The idea that America is the most racist country on earth is so obscenely completely wrong. This is a wonderful country, a country that tries hard, a country that is flawed, but you should be proud of and happy to live in. God bless this great country, and thank God you live here.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
So many people to thank, so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com for the hot links, for the swag. Pick up the A&G t-shirt or sports bra of your choice.
Are they going to take Trump's property over the weekend? We'll talk about it Monday. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
I don't know how it continues.
When it's over, it is over. It is over.
I bought him a bottle of wine.
Would you like a hamburger? How many do you want? Five?
I want to be crystal clear.
Down this road lies madness.
Do you understand?
They're like, alive?
No!
Yay!
Come on!
I want you to remember this moment.
It's a bloodbath.
It's cold.
And don't forget it.
I can't imagine a more beautiful thing.
Have a great Friday, you mother...
The Armstrong and Getty.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.